You all know my habit by now, a 20-minute Bible study and a 40-minute lecture interaction, which I'm looking forward to with all of you. I'll just set up the prop here. Means welcome to all of you. We're in God's house. We're privileged. My God is your God. We share the same God. And the occasion and the purpose is to prove that we have a loving God with an eternal solution. Thank you for inviting me back. As God blesses me, I would like to prove to be a blessing to you as well.
Amen.
We've covered grounds last time I was here, and we're going to do a continuation. It's an extension to what was shared last time. Last time we talked about when man builds a boat versus when God builds a boat. But all in all, it's all about interaction between God and man. Where we have failed, where we have succeeded, and we learn from the past. We are the most privileged generation because we have all the past to learn from. So we don't make a mistake. There's no excuse. And I'm grateful for that. I'm also grateful that we have elders, we have pastors. We have all of those that, you know, they're sacrificially, every day, thinking, wondering, praying that we have this wonderful facility to serve God and to serve each other. I just want you to know that God's Spirit is here today with you and I. May we be baptized by that Spirit throughout this hour. With a love of God that had no boundaries. God said, I want you all back. You all mean a lot to me, and I'll do anything, even if it kills me, to have you back. And they did, and they proved it. And I'm grateful. And we're not going to underestimate what his life is worth for a miserable person like me that he saw fit, that was worth the trade. He traded his life for mine. I tell you something, a God like that, I pay attention. A love like that gets my attention. Day and night, on my feet and on my knees, I can't help but be thinking about the amazing God that we have. The amazing, and he has no boundaries to shower us with blessings here and for eternity. I could go on and on and on, and I just love the moment with God. When I spend moment with God, I just love the moment. I hope you do too. I hope you will realize that it's so sweet to have a moment with God. I like a moment with you, but more so with God. But through you, I learn all about God. And I hope you can learn also through me something about God in our lives. All right? We're going to turn to our Bible study first. Heavenly Father, thank you for the occasion. Thank you for your people. Thank you for everyone present, those that are watching or listening. Heavenly Father, we pray that nothing be done here on my part except through you and your Spirit and your purpose. Delighting you, honoring you to serve for the reason that you see fit to invite us into your kingdom. We're grateful. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Our Bible study comes from, and you may look at a verse in Numbers 15, 20, 32 and 33. Because there's a lot of material I'm going to cover, I will mention the verse, not necessarily go to the verse and read every word, but we will certainly point to the content. All right, so you can move forward and cover a lot of grounds. Question is, last time I mentioned that we're going to talk about a subject that has been dealt with, but not to the extent that we will today. The subject is about three fires. The Bible talks about three fires that we need to know of. Most people know of two fires, but they don't know of the third one. There is a third fire. I'm going to share that and introduce you to the third fire. So the question is, of course, why is that important that we should know anything about fires? Why is that important? I'll tell you why it's important. Because if it's important to God, then it should be important to us. That's the first foremost reason. If it's important to God, it should be important to us. Another reason, and welcome, by the way, David and your wife, lovely wife. Thank you for coming, and glad you joined us here. Great to see you. All smiles, it's so encouraging. Thank you. All right, three fires. Why is that important that we should know about fires? Because somebody didn't know, or did know, and was reckless, and didn't care, and he paid with his life. I believe he knew, but he was reckless or rebellious. Or he didn't care. Or he was indifferent. And unfortunately today in the world we have a lot of people that are indifferent to God's purpose in our lives. And so easily today we dismiss a lot of things that are important to God and we are indifferent about it. And we may end up paying with our price, with our lives, and that's not what you want. We want to tune in with what's important to God and kind of make sure that we line up in our lives, in the choices we make. Our lifestyle will correspond with God's will and purpose. And that's what God wants. And when you look into it, you realize, whoa, it's beyond and above what the world can ever offer you. I'll tell you what, you know, I'm looking forward every day for such an experience. So, here this chap, while they were 40 years in the desert, you have to remember that they were guided by a pillar during a cloud. Israel, God's people came out of Egypt, and God is going to lead them. He's not going to forsake them. His visible presence will be there in the form of a cloud, pillar of cloud in the day, and a pillar of fire at night. And God wanted people to understand the distinction between common fire. And this gentleman here, as you would read in the book of Numbers, you will find that he decided to take it on himself to rebel and start a fire of his own. So he went out picking up sticks, wanting to start a fire. There was nothing wrong with that, but it was on the Sabbath, and that was not allowed. So on the Sabbath, he decided to go against the entire camp on his own, and he bears an influence. That's the problem. It bears an influence. Anything you do wrong will be picked up by somebody sometime, sooner or later, and God knows that, and he wants to put a check to it and say, no, we can't let this happen. And that man paid with his price. God's people had to take him out. So that is known as common fire. At a sacred occasion, there's no room for common fire. Did you know that today we have believers who believe in God and they understand the subject of fire, and on the Sabbath, they're not part of our movement, but on the Sabbath, they will not touch the elevator button because it creates a spark on the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, they're looking for a Gentile to do it for them. And that's the reality today. And they're religiously and so convicted that that spark should not happen in my hands. So we let someone else do it. Unfortunately. So we understand that today for some people, matter of fire is religiously very important. So common fire here, we found out, he was forbidden to play with this fire. He was playing with fire. You can play with fire all day, all week, but not on the Sabbath. In this particular occasion, God wouldn't want it. So first of all, we find out common fire has its place and has its purpose. But in this occasion, it had no place whatsoever. But this gentleman didn't know better. Today, the world is playing with fire. At occasions, they shouldn't. And we learn from that. So we have to understand what is right, what is wrong, and the occasion, the lens itself. So we can line up and say, you know what, I love you, God. You have purpose, and I want to learn about it. Why fire? So that's a fire. Now, if you were to go to Revelation 13, verse 13 to 14, Revelation 13, 13, 14, you find out of a different kind of fire. You know what kind of fire that is? Revelation 13 and verse 13 to 14. Revelation 13, 13. That is what is known as a lying fire. See, when God has intention and purpose, somehow the devil, Lucifer, I shouldn't say Lucifer, the devil, Satan, will counterfeit it before God even has a chance to do his act. Beforehand. Why? It's a lying fire with intention and purpose to deceive the world. That's what this fire is all about. The devil knows that God has intended purpose to do something about fire and with fire, but he's going to counter that with his own act to do what? To deceive the world. So wake up, world, because there's a reality that shortly, soon, there's going to be fire displayed in the heavens for the world to see, to deceive them. That's a deceptive fire. It's a lying fire. And it's going to deceive the world. They're going to be at awe. What power could bring on such fire? We need to submit to it. Don't you do that. That has nothing to do with God. Let's go back a little bit and see a reality if it ever happened before. And it did. Moses and Aaron came to see Pharaoh. And then what did God say? Drop the rod and what will happen? It'll turn into a snake, right? That was a living, divine snake. A real snake that Pharaoh saw. But when the magicians dropped their rod and they brought about snakes, those were lying snakes, deceptive snakes. There was no life in them. They were counterfeit. Because no one can give life except God. Not the magicians, not the devil, not Satan. He cannot give life. So what else can it be? For the purpose of deceiving the nation. You see? So he will do that. An act of fire is about to come and strike this world. We're told right here in Revelation. And it's prophetic. Prophecy is proof that God means what he says, and he put it in there as a warning so we understand. Something else about this lying fire, or even common fire that we need to know, a principle. Common fire and lying fire have no justice built into it. It's reckless. So you can take common fire for good or for evil. Do you think the fire knows any difference? No. It's what you use it for that will determine whether it's for good or evil. So you see, common fire, lying fire, has its intention and purpose, but it does not include justice. That's a reality. You can use it to burn somebody, you can use it to warm yourself up with. Depending on the usage, but the fire will never know. Those fires don't know. They're just being used for good or evil. But they don't understand, built into those fires, there's not a nature of justice built into it. Why is that important? Because now we're going to hit the third fire. The third fire. The third fire. Revelation 29. God's sacred, divine justice fire. That fire will never be reckless.
20 verse 9, not 29.
No, Revelation 20 verse 9. That's correct. There's a lot of verses. You can go to Matthew 25, Hebrews 12, Matthew 7, Mark 9, 49, fire types. And you can go all over there with all of these different fires. But if you look at Matthew 3, 12, I want to focus on that for this Bible study. Because it has a lot to do with what went wrong in the world. So, if you would turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, turn to Matthew and 3:12. I want to focus on that one for a good many reasons. Matthew 3:12, if I have it right. Yes, that's the one I want. All right. There's a reason for that. So let's understand. Fire that comes with God is a divine fire who will, in its nature, it will always be lined up with God's justice. Not a reckless fire. The fire knows God's will. It's built right into the Spirit of God. God's Spirit is built into that fire to accomplish a purpose. That's a divine appointed fire. Now let's look at examples. Where did it happen? Moses was told, the burning bush. Anybody know about the burning bush? Of course you know about the burning bush. And what did he say? It's sacred. Take your shoes off. Why? God's presence was in there. And spoke. A fire that speaks. God's presence spoke to Moses, take off your shoes. I have a message for you. I have plans. That was a divine appointed sacred fire. We cannot dismiss it. It comes with God. That's who God is. So here the point of this study is that we need to be fireproof of that fire. And that fire will make us fireproof. You see, you're baptized by the Holy Spirit, by the fire of the Holy Spirit, which is divine and sacred. And that fire will surround you in your life. And you will be protected. You will be fireproof. Because there is a fire coming from heaven at the end, because justice, love, and justice demands an end to evil living. And that fire knows the difference between evil living and good living, faithful living. That fire knows it. And God is going to send that fire and it's going to do his job. There's no mistake. We need to be aware of that. Because there's going to be a lying fire, deceptive fire, that's going to fool the world otherwise. And it's going to come just before God's fire. And we know that because that's prophetic. So, God's fire, it's a divine, sacred, appointed fire. Let's read with me. This verse, it has been so misunderstood, so misrepresented, it caused so much fear, it's caused so much injustice in the world. That verse that says here, whose fan is in his hand, verse 12 of chapter 3 of Matthew, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, if we were to exhaust ourselves with the many verses associated with forever fire, we can do that, but there is a religious conviction that was brought forward, a deceptive, what you call, misrepresentation of the fire of God, so much so that folks were told that you will burn and burn and burn and burn forever, 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 ever. Well, there's value in that idea, but it's been misrepresented. Watch carefully what I'm going to say now. Predestination, most people thought, oh, people have been already selected, so there's nothing I can do about it. God already selected who's going to be saved, who's going to be lost. That's called predestination. No, that's a misrepresentation. Watch carefully. Predestination was associated with a purpose, not with a person. Predestined for a purpose. And all are invited, none excluded. Having ironed this out to better understanding, now we're going to iron out this one here. Unquenchable, everlasting fire, burning and burning and burning. That's associated not with the act of burning, but with the type of fire that it is. You see the difference? It's a fire that nobody can extinguish. When that bush was burning and it stopped burning, it's only because that fire went back to God. You can't get rid of it. It's an eternal fire. The name of that fire is eternal, forever, unquenchable. Do you see the difference? When it serves its purpose and justice has been served, so be it. But people misunderstood that, associated that with the act of the fire, that you will burn. No, you will burn until you burn up with an unquenchable fire, and there's nothing you can do about it. Remember on Mount Carmel, there was that sacrifice? You can pour all the water you wanted. It didn't interfere with it. It was no match to the God fire. That was sacred fire, divine fire. It was not common fire. You see that? God wants us to know the distinction between common fire that's going to, and lying fire, and a divine appointed fire intended, according to this word, to separate the wheat from the tares. The tares will burn up. They will not be able to stand in the midst of this fire. But the wheat will. Let's have another example in the Bible. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember they were cast into the 7 times hotter? Right? That's a common fire. There's nothing divine about that fire. It was intended to destroy them. Remember, for good and for evil? So man can only use common fire for good or for evil. In this case, intended for evil. But God countered it with His own fire. His presence, consuming, we are serving a God who is a consuming fire. He came in there with His divine fire, countered it, it couldn't touch them, and they were saved. And they were safe. We are invited to be baptized by water and go the next step and be baptized by the Holy Spirit, who is a living fire. Remember the disciples? They were told that when the early rain fell on them, there was little flames of fire, right? Sacred fire. When that fire surrounds you, because you have such urgency, such love for God, it will surround you. Built into that love is justice and the amazing love that God has for you and I. And that's most wonderful. I want to be surrounded by, I want to warm up to that fire. It's not going to destroy me. It's going to protect me. It's going to watch out for me. And what will it do? Well, we read it. What will it do for me? We read it. I like to think that it kind of sinks in our thoughts, in our mind throughout the day. Thank you, brother, for reading those 3 verses. The last book in the Bible. Isn't that an amazing message? I come quickly. 3 times. If he said it once, okay, it kind of goes by. 2nd time goes by. 3rd time, oh, I pay attention quickly. Hello. So it begs the question. If I'm surrounded by that sacred divine fire who's going to protect me because it's a fire of justice, and I appeal to God to forgive me, and I appeal to God to baptize me by a sacred Holy Spirit, then I turn around and I say, God, you know what? Give me the gifts. I long for those gifts to be trustworthy. You see, because being in that divine fire is one thing, but to be trustworthy, that's what it's all about. Who God can trust, God will protect. But come quickly is an interesting word that I want to kind of throw in there. Because a lot of people are confused. 2,000 years later, he's still not here. Doesn't that make sense? You kind of wonder about it, don't you? 2,000 years later, Jesus is not here. And then the Bible says to my face 3 times, I come quickly. And I says, what's with that? And you know that most people are confused about it too. They don't know what it means. They're still waiting and wondering. But that's why we come here, to learn and to discover what it means. It's very simple. I've had my Christian friends say to me, Richard, you know, 1,000 years for God is like one day, so that means quick to Him. But He wasn't talking to Himself, He was talking to us when He says quickly. So that principle doesn't apply. What applies is what was said in the verse. When, here it is, blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. You see, when prophecies have been fulfilled of this book, then he will come quickly. So we have to know where to put quickly. Don't put it in the wrong place. Put it in the right place. Where does it belong? After the prophetic revelation. or once prophecy has played itself out, make no mistake, God will be here quickly. That's where it belongs. So there's no misunderstanding. He means what he says, and he says what he means, and when he says quickly, he said it three times, and I got it. And a couple of things come with it. What do you say? A blessing. We are a movement of prophecy, and God says, if you are a person of prophecy, and you keep, if you stay connected with the prophecy, you will be blessed. That's the first thing. I come quickly, and I'm coming with a blessing. Those of you, he's not talking about now, he's talking about when he does come, then you will have a blessing. Why? Because you stayed connected with the prophecy. That's what he's saying. So he's saying, when I come quickly, I come with a blessing for those that have held on to the prophetic message. And that's who we are as a people. I'm so grateful for this denomination, for this movement. I'm so grateful for the faithful soul. By the way, God has people that he can trust today that are faithful to him in our midst, in our movement. He has them. And the others are working on it. It's a struggle, it's a battle, it's a challenge, but it's all right. They're on the right path. Learning how to be trustworthy and how to stay, remain connected with the prophetic message. Hope needs to hear about God's prophetic message. They don't know about it. They need to hear about it. And the second, I come quickly, comes with what? A reward for both. For good or for evil. Those that have lived in a life contrary to God's will, they will be rewarded. Yeah. But also the faithful ones. I'm going to line up with the faithful ones. And you know what? When I line up with the faithful ones, you know what I'm looking forward to? You. To be in that line when we line up. Not any other. There's you. There's you. We're going to line up with the faithful ones, aren't we? That's so encouraging. And meanwhile, what it does, it gives us peace. Because we know something. We don't have to worry. It's not about rattling some issues out there that don't line up with God's purpose and will or prophecy. You don't know what's up or down. You don't know who to trust out there. Media and so on and so forth. The battle between and the wars. And then were we not told there's going to be rumors of wars? I never thought in my day that after World War II we would have learned a great deal. We've learned nothing. We haven't learned anything. We're at war. Can't stop it. Why? Because at night somebody's sowing an evil seed and wants to make war and wants a battle. And that's reality. But we're going to line up with the faithful ones. Because we're going to be rewarded and we're going to be blessed. And we're going to learn a lot about God's prophecy, so don't miss out on it. All right, so much for the Bible study. Three fires. A fire of justice and love. A fire, a lying fire to deceive the world. And a common fire that we know. And that fire, accept however you choose to use it, will never know for good or for evil. But I'm going to line up with God's divine fire. So now we are made aware that God has divine fire. One more thing. That pillar of fire that stood for 40 years leading Israel was God's presence. Was a divine appointed, what you call presence, a living fire. I hope you hear what I'm going to say next. Jesus said when he went to heaven, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. That is a promise, a divine appointed promise that we can invite the Holy Spirit on life.
Amen.
God's living fire in my life. We haven't been cheated. We're still. And we need to be mindful of God's presence in my life when you invite the Holy Spirit in your life. Because you cannot separate the Holy Spirit from God. They're one. You cannot separate fire from God. They're one. And when you invite them, you're going to get fired up. And I hope you do too. All right? That would be wonderful. I want to get fired up for God. And I appreciate that. So I trust that this little moment that we shared on the three fires, you recognize that there is a distinction between a trusting fire, a fire of justice, and there's nothing else but to dish out justice in a loving way, in a merciful way, and then a common fire that we can liberally use for good or for evil. And then we don't want to fall into the trap of a deceptive fire intended to deceive the world, and that will play itself out as well, but we know better, and we're grateful. Thank God for that. All right, there goes the Bible study. Now we have a little lecture. Fair enough? All right. Last time I was here, we talked about, wait a minute, can you see both? You can see both. Can you see both?
Yes.
Okay. But you can see this one, but you see that one there too? But there's nothing there. I was just having fun with it. She says she sees something here, but I didn't see it. Now you do. All right, let's put it right side up. All right. Remember last time we talked about when God builds a boat and when man builds a boat? We went through that whole process. Now we're going to go beyond that. But I'm bringing it up forward for a good reason. And that's going to be our subject matter today. And I know... Whoa. Did something go wrong with your clock? No, there's nothing wrong with me. But... All right. Folks... We understand that God in 2 Peter tells us, I would that none should perish. That's God's desire. So no matter what you see, what you hear, what happens, good or bad, God maintains His love built around that none should perish. But all should come to a saving grace no matter what happens out there. Fair enough? All right. No soon. Noah came out of the ark. The flood was over. Okay. Do you remember when Adam and Eve were cast out, they were taken out of the garden? Okay. A powerful principle you need to know. When I tell my children, you know what, you want to smoke? Not in this house, you got to go elsewhere. I'll take you out, you go over there, right? And it didn't happen in our home, by the way. But just making a point. As a father, when I say, I'm in the business of relocating people, so I will relocate you because your choice of lifestyle doesn't correspond with our life's choice. And you can choose, I don't have a problem with that. But here, Adam and Eve chose a lifestyle that did not correspond with God, but he turned around and says, you know what, I'm going to have to relocate you. So he didn't kick them out, he relocated them for safety reasons. But he did something more bigger than that. He says, you know what, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to come after you. I'm not going to give up. And whatever happens, even if it kills me, I want you back. You see, that's the God we're serving. He wants us back. So God wants us back. He doesn't want us to be left behind alone, struggling. You don't have to struggle alone. God wants us back. No sooner, years later, not very much longer, man had enough of God. Man decided to go back to their own will and purpose. Self-serving, self-interest, driven by greed, driven by the, I don't know what. But God was not invited. God was not invited in their life. Today, that's what the world looks like today. God is not invited in their life. And if there's a God in their life, we're not talking about this God, the real God. A phony, fabricated, counterfeited God. There's plenty of them to satisfy the whole world, whether God comes or not. But we need to be searching out who the true God is. And we have plenty of reference to prove that point. So here you have, no sooner, we had this terrible disaster of the flood. Years later, what do you think happened? Man decided he's going to build a tower. rebelling against God. Because man decided in his head that maybe there was not God in the flood at all. It was just crazy Noah. And he was a magician. And with his magic, he brought the flood. And we're going to counter that. But if there is a God, then he's a monster. Because look at what he did. They made a monster out of him. So they decided they're going to build a tower. You have to understand the spirit associated with building this tower. It's very interesting. It's called globalization today. We call it centralization today. And it's no different. It's a tower. The world is introducing us to a tower version. It's against God. Globalization, it's against God. God wanted to disperse us. So what proof do we have today of God's will? Two. You know why I brought this picture back? Because I want you to take notice. Imagine today science, archaeologists are looking everywhere in the world, digging in the walls, digging in the rocks, looking for evidence of Noah's Ark. Some say they found it in Turkey. Some think they found it over there. Looking for the evidence of the Noah's Ark. All the while, in their face, God has done something amazing. He's given us a promise, the rainbow. Just look at the rainbow. Never mind Noah's Ark. A rainbow of promise. That ark is not going to deliver any promise anymore. It's over. It's done. It's buried. Leave it there. But not the rainbow. But today people look at the rainbow. It's just a rainbow. Even worse, they copied it and turned it into another rainbow. And they're following that rainbow version. See, the devil knows what he's doing, messing around with the mind. He's countering everything that God does. God has a Sabbath. Devil has a Sunday. God has this. The devil has that. God has a fire. Devil has a fire. We have to line up and understand the truth of it all. But there's a reality. That rainbow is divinely appointed. And I don't know about you. When I see the rainbow, I see God's hand. I see God's promise. I see a divine appointed rainbow. It's not just to, you know, make the sky look beautiful. It's to prove to me that God is a God of promises. He means what he says and he's going to deliver. And I can stand and there is a light at the end of that rainbow. And God has a purpose at the end of that rainbow. The other rainbows, whatever they're having, you know, I mean, I don't know what the purpose and what is at the end of it, but I don't even want to go there. But let them have their rainbow. I want to stand under God's rainbow. Do you see that? So we have the evidence of a rainbow. What other evidence do we have today that God is with us? Remember, centralization, globalization is against God. And there's a reason. God knows why that's wrong. We have one more evidence. What happened on that tower that changed the course?
The languages.
What did you say?
The languages.
The languages. Do we have languages today? Where did they come from? Not from the sky. From God himself. So if he speaks Turkish and he speaks Koreans and she speaks German, that was God's gift for disbursement. That's the evidence. Languages did not come from man. God introduced the languages that we all be blessed. Disbursement. And we read in Sabbath school, all nations. We are to spread the gospel to all nations. All these languages, tongues and languages, all nations. So we have the dual evidence. And these are evidences before Jesus Christ even set foot in this world as a man. And he becomes another witness. And then we have God's word, which is another witness. I stand under the umbrella of that rainbow. So I hope today, if you take nothing with you, next time you see a rainbow, share with your friends. It's not just a rainbow. It's God talking to us. God telling us, giving us a message, a powerful message. And I'm glad it's so huge. Sometimes it's so beautiful. And by the way, say, Glenda, and I want you to know, I didn't have a chance to do it, but I thought about it, and then I forgot it. It's just a wrinkle in my thinking. But Janelle and Grant, neighbor, took a picture of the house they live in now with a huge rainbow over it. When I saw that, I warmed up to the idea. I mean, blessed house covered by a rainbow that God himself put in the sky. You saw it? Oh, thank you. I was going to make a poster of it, and that surprised you, but you've seen it already. So I want you to know we have a rainbow that follows us. It doesn't matter where you go. You go here, you go there, you go to camp meeting, you go. There's always a rainbow that follows us. We have all this evidence. God wants us to know about the rainbow. Aha. I kept the best for last. Are you okay with that? You are? I kept the best for last. And I hope you'll warm up to this. Forget that spirit. It's so destructive. I want nothing to do with it. But I'm going to share with you two words I hope will stick with you for as long as you live. Two words. That's God's purpose and plan for you and I. That's what God wants. He doesn't want to build a tower for self-service, for self-interest, for those special people at the expense of the others. But here's the two words I want you to know. And I'm going to close with that. We don't need to go much further. But God is going to make all things new. Under a rainbow, believe it or not. Even in the new world, there will be a rainbow. So enjoy it. Be blessed by it. Don't dismiss it. It's coming with us. Wherever we're going, we're going to be covered by the rainbow. I'm after that rainbow. And there's an end to the rainbow that's so beautiful. God will make all things new. I'm going to leave you with two words. Although I have much more material that I can cover. But I also want to leave something behind that suggests, you know, maybe you'll invite me back. You see, so I'll keep you a little hungry. Is that okay? All right. Two words I want you to be mindful of. God is offering you citizenship. The world is offering you membership. That's the difference. With membership comes borders. Only the selected. That's membership. So globalization, centralization is intended for the selected, the elected, membership. Whether it's a name, the number, or the beast, you name it, it's a membership. That's all you're going to get if you follow that. If you follow that vision, that's all you're going to get is a membership. But God has already today offered you and I citizenship. I tell you what, don't be looking for citizenship elsewhere. Trump wall. Are you kidding me? Walls are a curse, not a blessing. At no time. And that's what it spells. But do they know that? Somebody needs to tell them. There's no blessing in the wall. God has given us freedom to choose. And today is inviting all of us to embrace his citizenship. I know a lot of us have already. Privately, publicly, through baptism, through accepting Jesus Christ, his son, we have said, we want to be citizens of your kingdom. That's why we're here today. That's why we're in this church. This gentleman and this lovely lady here, you're going to choose citizenship, not membership. See, the devil offers you membership. He can keep it. He's not going anywhere with it. But God is offering you and I citizenship. I want that citizenship for a better world. I put that poster up so we could develop a little appetite and say, you know, it's going to be beautiful. This doesn't come near what it's going to look like, but it gives us a little sense of something better. Over Tower of Babel. Nonsense. So I want you to remember, globalization, centralization means only one thing. The Tower of Babel all over in our days. The world has learned nothing. But at the same time, go home and remember that we have a rainbow to remind us of God's promise. We have nations, languages to remind us, God at work. We have His sacred word. We have the Holy Spirit on our side. And we have Jesus Christ who's knocking on the door. And today I just want to say to you in final, Heavenly Father, you are so sacred. Your love is so eternal. Your Spirit envelops us all. Not for the moment, for eternity. I pray, Heavenly Father, that none of us, all of us, would experience eternity. And we'll hang on to your promises. And we won't let anyone take it away from us. We are children of your promise. We want to hang on to the promise. And we look forward, Heavenly Father, to be so rewarded, so blessed, as you said. And you will come, and it will be quickly. Thank you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen.